This is Vision Destiny 2020, and I think this is the last part. I'm sharing my journals, the things God said to me in 2019, things God did, the things we did together, my experiences, my encounters, and reflecting and looking at how that affects going forward and what we're looking forward in 2020. There are a lot of major themes. Restoration of all things was the major theme. The Oracles of the Father's Heart is very strongly connected to that. Shining with love's light is a revealing of the heart of the Father to the world. Happy eschatology, believing that we're going to establish something in the future which is going to be positive and good rather than negative and bad. The Joshua generation arising in sonship, taking their places in the heavenly realms and living from a place of rest. Those are some of the keys. And I believe one of the keys for us is to engage God for ourselves. God will give you revelation directly as he gives me revelation directly if you will pursue developing a relationship by practicing to discern and get your senses tuned in to the voice of God, to the heart of God, to engage him in this face-to-face restoration of an innocence that he has for us. We're predestined to this relationship as sons. So one of the things, you know, he's really challenged me about is restoration and the fullness of it and how far it goes. Son, you were designed in our image and likeness to ascend, to think like us with the power to create reality. The independent, disconnected, do-it-yourself pathway has diminished but not removed those abilities. And all that is now, or now is the result of the acceptance of the fruit of free will. Free will is inherently independent of the relationship of I am that was designed to be at the heart of everything and is primarily what is responsible for this fallen state of creation. Free will, as you now perceive it to be, was never our original intention. What was intended was a relational, creative collaboration with all of creation through the elementals of every dimension, but the ascension of mankind to the maturity of sonship has been sidetracked. Son, the restoration of sonship is the key to the restoration of all things. This is the truth that is being resisted by the political and religious spirit at work within my children that is keeping them from in immaturity. Now, it's really important to see that just because there's opposition doesn't make it right or wrong. You see, there was 12 spies and only two of them were in agreement with God and 10 weren't. So just because there may be a lot of opposition to a particular situation, particularly the restoration of all things, that doesn't mean that this perspective is wrong. I went into the garden of the Father one day onto the golden mountain and I was given 4 golden keys by Metatron, who's the keykeeper and timekeeper of the seasons of heaven. Each key was for unlocking one of the 4 streams flowing towards restoration. Son, use the key as your mandate to open each of the streams to each other of the streams, so that the 4 streams can become one unified river that will flow from heaven to water all of the earth. This river can then begin to flow from the earth to water the whole of creation. The flow of this river will increase when my sons are in unison, one heart, one mind, with one purpose, which is the restoration of all things. Let's major on that which is God's heart. Son, the key symbolizes your authorization to bridge the streams by unifying the revelation of each stream into a logical, unified understanding that encompasses each field. You will need to legislate for the removal of doctrinal strongholds and the deconstruction of the theological pillars that limit and restrict their ability to embrace the other streams. Son, focus your attention and target specific significant people within each stream, those who I will show you. Son, it is only love that can break down the walls of division and separation that keeps the streams apart. All the streams originally had one source, which was the river of life, and so the streams that flowed from my throne, but by following the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, independence has been created. And it's really important that we go back to the source of the river of life and the tree of life and embrace the fullness of that unexhaustible, inexhaustible source. Each stream, although containing truth, still operates in a do-it-yourself system that blinkers people from each other because they've all been leaning to their own limited understanding. Son, it's time for these independent streams to flow from my throne once again, so there can be an exponential increase as the streams flow together. Son, the mystic stream must be the one to take the lead, as only face-to-face intimacy can reveal the truth to all streams. Son, you've embraced the revelation of all streams, but you need deeper levels of truth to be the connection point that unifies. You know, I have a working knowledge of most of those streams, but there's more for me to discover, so I can connect with people in the different streams and relate to them. Son, come to the court of the fathers and present your case for restoration. I stood before the 24 elders representing the father's heart and presented the case for the restoration of all things. And I think all things, not just some things, not limited number of things, but all things. On the basis of the precepts of God, who is love, and on the basis of the sonship mandate to free creation from its bondage to corruption, I ask for a mandate to be given to the Joshua generation for the restoration of all created beings and all created things. I call for the end of controversy by releasing a clear mandate to take responsibility for all created beings. I call for love and forgiveness to be released to all created beings that will break through the deception that they are in bondage to. I call for the alignment of the circle of the deep in relation to the restoration of all created things. I call for an unveiling of the truth that all created beings can be restored as a precept to reveal the statutes and laws to open the window for the ordinances of God to be put into motion. I call for new mantles of restoration to be released that carry the Father's heart and oracles. I call for new weapons for restoration to be released to engage all created beings. I call for the evangelical mindsets that limit the scope of restoration to mankind alone to be deconstructed. I call for scrolls and mandates and blueprints for the restoration of all created beings to be released. I call for limited and restricted thinking to be challenged by testimonies from all the nations concerning the restoration of all created beings. I call for the culture to be changed in the affairs of the nation, which is one of the 12 Chancellor's Houses, to make it acceptable to see all created beings restored. I call for angelic messengers to take the call for the restoration of all things into the visions and dreams of those who are standing in opposition. I call for the fathers to release the oracles of the Father's heart to all who are restricted by religious beliefs that limit restoration. I ask the council to consider my case and give me a scroll with authorization to expand the message of restoration. And as I was standing there, they authorized it and gave me the scroll. So I received the mandate and started to legislate for restoration in convergence of the streams into one river. That was what I felt mandated to do, so I began to do that. So I started to use what I presented a case, I was given authorization to use that case, and then I started to legislate using the precedent of that case. So I call into the four streams and call them to converge into one unified whole river. I call for the theologians of each stream to have supernatural encounters with the Father. I call for those who are passionate about their stream to have love encounters with the Father. I call for lightning bolts of heavenly revelation to penetrate the veils of deception that restrict them to seeing the other streams, from seeing the other streams. I call for the blinkers to be removed from their eyes so that they can see beyond their own stream. I decree the convergence of the streams towards full restoration. I decree open hearts and open minds by engagements with the living word of God, Jesus. I decree the days of reliance on the Bible to be over and the days of hearing Jesus' voice to begin. I call for the light to shine to reveal the oracles of the Father's heart to all streams. I call for the passion felt towards each individual stream to be felt for the one river of full restoration. I call for grace and greater grace to manifest over those who are the evangelists of each stream to empower them with the boldness to embrace the unified river. I call for the courage of grace to equip them to embrace the deconstruction and renewal of their minds to enable them to let go of the religious beliefs that keep them insulated from each other and of the other three streams. I decree that one stream will become two, and two will become three, and three will become four, and all will become one mighty river of the convergence of the eternal heart of God for full and complete restoration. Now, I carry that in my heart, and I've had encounter after encounter over the last 10 years particularly that have cemented that in my heart, that has so caused my heart and passion for restoration to be raised, because it's all based in experiencing the love of God, which is unconditional and therefore is for everyone. Son, use this legislation to target and reach those in each stream that I will give you my heart for. And there are people that I know who are very, very passionate about their stream, but are not experiencing the others. Be consistent and diligent until my love overwhelms each argument and removes every obstacle to convergence. Son, the great convergence is gaining momentum, so keep legislating until it reaches critical mass. My love will be too powerful to resist and my grace too lavish to ignore, and I will not relent until I have them all restored. I have called you and mandated you to be the ambassador of restoration. This mandate authorizes you to go beyond the jurisdiction of the Joshua generation to engage all of my children and all that I have created with the oracles of my heart across all dimensions of space-time. Now, I've started to engage other dimensions of space-time and obviously engage the eternal heart of God, but who knows where this will take us as we begin to explore some of the dimensional realities that exist. Son, release the sound and light that carries the frequency of my heart for restoration as my oracles to all dimensions of the created order. Son, the frequency of sonship will be resonating with my passionate love for the freedom of all creation from its corruption and the deception of its lost identity. I stood on the foundation stone of all creation and released that frequency that carries the oracles of the Father's heart out into the dimensions. And I felt connected to all creation, as I've done a number of times in the past, but this was a much more legislative and governmental perspective. Son, stand within my heart in the eternal now. Can you feel what I feel for all that I have created? And I started to feel it. I started to sense it at a deeper level. You have had revelation of the oracles of our heart, and you have experienced how others have felt having experienced our love. When I went into the court of the upright and felt how those who'd encountered Jesus and how he revealed the Father's love to them, and it was such an intense experience. Now I desire that you know for yourself how we feel as parents of creation itself. It is like being in a furnace of intense heat. This is what I suddenly started to feel. A furnace of intense heat. The emotions are overwhelming like waves of passion and burning desire and intense joy and deep compassion and overwhelming love. This took it to another level. I had revelation of it. I experienced it. I even taught it. But now I went to another level of experience. Wave after wave of deep emotions without any break rolling over me, imparting the reality of love. There was an intensity of emotion that I've never felt before, that held in perfect balance the transcendence and the immanence. You see, there's a sense where God is in the eternal now, and he knows everything because everything's now. And there's a sense where he's chosen to limit himself to a quantum moment, the immanence of being connected to each individual in that immanent way. So that means God knows everything and is omniscient and yet can be surprised. And he's chosen to do that, to connect to us and to identify with us and identify with his children. I knew that there was total complete peace and therefore perfect rest of the eternal now, knowing the end from the beginning. And yet That contrasted with the intense pain and deep sadness of living in the moment with all of creation. God identifies with our pain. He identifies with our brokenness, with the fragmentation of creation, and yet he's totally at peace and rest in the eternal now, but lives in the moment of each of us and can identify with us. Going through the intense agony of feeling everything's thoughts and feelings moment by moment as all things exist within God as Father, Son, and Spirit, and God is present within the fabric of all things. There is a connection. God is no distant deity. God didn't wind up the clock and just let it go. God is intimately involved with his creation and is chosen to live in the quantum moment and not just in the transcendence of the eternal now. Now I know why the restoration of all things is at the center of a loving God's desire, intention, and motivation. Now I know how the oracles of God's heart are inextricably entangled and can never be separated from the restoration of all things desire. He is love, and love is restoration in action. Son, now do you know that I am, and why I will not relent until all creation is fully and completely restored to the state of pure innocence found only within the perichoresis circle of the dance? And I can say I know more about it from this encounter and from these encounters. Sun Deep is calling you to come deeper. Come back to the Firestones for the encounter you need for the next season of grace and greater grace. So there at the Firestones, I am surrounded by Father, Son, and Spirit. And we walked onto the first stone together. I was encompassed by them and connected to them in this experience. Never had this happen to me before, so it was a deeper encounter. Love for creation, the agony and the ecstasy that cannot be separated, the transcendence and the immanence, that's what I felt on that first step. I ascended each of the steps in turn, feeling the depth of the emotion felt by God for restoration. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail of it. You need to have your own encounter with it, but it was intense, like deeper and more intense than anything I've experienced before there. I felt all that it was possible for me to feel of what God feels based on their character and very essence. It's impossible for us to feel the full depth, but you get glimpses of it, touches of it that are life-changing and life-transforming. Joy and yet deep sadness, peace and yet turmoil, patience and yet anxiety, kindness and goodness, all connected, fully identifying with creation's groaning in lost identity and yet being completely in the eternal now, constantly at work to bring good and bring restoration into reality. The contrast with the imminent longing and groaning pain of creation held in the bondage of corruption, the agony and the ecstasy, the quantum paradox of transcendence and immanence within I am that I am as love. Son, release the sound of new beginnings to bring fresh hope to those who are weary of the dead works of religion. Son, so many of our children have been deceived by the religious spirit and do not know who we are. I am that I am is going to reveal the truth of who we are in outrageous displays of grace. Those who have rejected hypergrace because their minds are trapped in the less than evangelical system will be outraged by ultra grace. Son, our grace is the divine enabling power to be in relationship with us. It can have no limits because love has no limits as it is purely unconditional. Religion limits grace to works because it is a system of the do-it-yourself tree imagined by man independent of God to enable appeasement by man's own self-righteous efforts. There is no grace in religion as grace is free and religion requires adherence to law and rules. Son, the frequency of freedom must resonate within the hearts and minds of our children for grace to be activated for new life to emerge from the darkness into the light. The forerunners of the Joshua generation must arise and shine love's light with the utmost urgency to radiate grace's new hope into the darkness and deception of the old order institutional systems devised by man. The light will continue to increase in intensity as creative light reveals the dimness of the created light that has covered the world in relative darkness. Son, I was the light of the world, and men chose to reject the light and remain in darkness. But when my children arise to be seated in the heavens, the world will see the brightness of your rising. Arise and shine love's light with extreme, lavish, ultra grace to reveal the truth of our unconditional love to those trapped in the deception of self-delusion. Son, there can be no limits or restrictions to love, grace, or mercy, so it can triumph over man's need for judgment and so-called justice. Man's so-called justice that has been attributed to us is but a symptom of the need for retribution to justify their need for laws and rules. Son, true justice is based on unconditional love and the judgment of innocence made before the foundation of the world. Son, all of creation has been predestined to be restored from the beginning. It was, is, and always will be guaranteed by love's offering of itself on the foundation stone of creation itself. All the darkness of religion will be exposed to the light of our sun's arising and shining love's light. Son, prepare for the shift by resting in my love and seeking me for the strategic direction to legislate for the opening of new doors of opportunity. There are nations and people groups that are under more heavy religious deception than others, and they need the light to penetrate the darkness. There are also nations and groups that think they're thriving under the Moses Order system. They think that they are in revival because of many conversions and large numbers attending their meetings. Revival is the restoration of love's quality, not quantity. Do not make judgments by external observation, but by love. The life in the old is satisfying the religious needs, but it is not creating sons, but only slaves dependent on the hierarchy. Son, legislate for personal dissatisfaction to create the desire for freedom by calling for encounters with the angelic and heavenly realms. There must be a desire to be free from the matrix of religious delusion. That desire will cause my children to mature and take responsibility for their lives and their spheres of authority. It takes deconstructive, cognitive, dissonant encounters to make us aware that we're living in a religious delusion, a matrix of the do-it-yourself tree that has fooled us into thinking that this religious system is okay with God. We need encounters that reveal the depth of his love, to unveil that system, to show us that we're in bondage to a wrong version of God, a wrong view of God, the law, when we should be living in new covenant grace. Whilst justice moves to a season of grace for the Joshua generation, grace will be removed from the Moses order and the revival dynamics will shift to control systems that further restrict sonship. The corruption that is often associated with success will begin to be exposed, as it has been in many scandals of the past. This will reveal failures of trading on the negative flaws of money, sex, power, and other things. Hierarchical systems often lack the accountability of relationship because of the charisma of the leader, and deception is not far from the door. Son, it is not my desire to hurt my children, but the mediatorial systems need to be exposed so my children can walk out of the slavery of the wilderness into the freedom of the promised land. The apparent success in the wilderness will be replaced by disillusionment as the flaws of the system are exposed to the light. My children will begin to see things as they truly are. They will start to seek me alone. The true mantle of authority has already been passed to the Joshua figuratively, but just like Samson, many have not detected that the anointing has departed from those who function like Moses did in mediation. Son, legislate for the shakings to increase in frequency and amplitude until the reality of wilderness living is revealed. Son, the wilderness cannot be restored as it has never become the promise. It can never become the promised land, as it is the product of the fear and slavery of the DIY tree path. The full restoration of all my children from slavery to sonship is my desire and intention, and it will continue to be whilst one child remains in bondage to the religious deceptive systems masquerading as places of truth. Son, come walk with me. And we entered the temple of Isaiah 6, where the train of his robe is filling the temple, and the seraphim are there, and the altar is there. And I looked up at the dome vaulted ceiling, which I looked at in 2014, and I looked at it again, and it was covered in multidimensional maps depicting the changing of the affairs of the nations, cultural shifts, and dimensional transformation. It's an awesome thing, but I was drawn to one particular area that seemed to be represent a map or blueprint tracking the course of restoration across the different dimensions of time and space. I saw four streams flowing to converge in the physical realm, but I also saw a river of pure light flowing dimensionally through the spiritual and the dimensional realms. I saw the restoration of sonship as a river that crosses the boundaries with the radiance of true hope's light for creation's freedom from bondage to the corruption into the glory of the liberty of the sons of God. And I picked up a golden bow, which I had used before, and I fired four arrows, each at a golden cord, into the four streams, connecting them, and then I fired a fifth arrow into the spiritual realm, connecting to the four streams, and a sixth arrow into the dimensions, connecting to the four streams, and a seventh arrow that connected all things to the eternal now, the source of the Father's heart of love. Now, I will attempt to try and draw this at some stage, but it was significant that this represented something very similar to what I did back in 2014, which then opened up doors of opportunity to engage where I fired the arrows. And I believe God wants to make these connections. His desire is to connect people back to his eternal heart in love. So these streams can not just flow in this physical realm, but can flow in all the dimensions to bring restoration and wholeness. Son, I am that I am. Trust me, and you will begin to see beyond what you could have imagined or thought. I am beyond your beyond and infinite, but there is one thing that has never changed, that is the fact that I am love. I can never be or do anything that's contradictory to love, as love is the constant of who I am. Son, you can trust in my love, being constant and consistent, and reject anything, be it theology, doctrine, or teaching, that contradicts my nature and essence as love. Unconditional love defines who I am, and everything must be framed by love. Love is the only way to judge and evaluate, is the only plumb line you will ever need. Religion has always put conditions on love that lessen the truth of who I am to distort my nature. Son, you have experienced my love in so many ways. It is those encounters that have deepened your realization of who I am truly is. And this is so true when I look back. Your love encounters have enabled you to come deeper into the true reality of our nature. The restoration of all things journey that you've been on has been an adventure of love. Son, there is more to come, but I would encourage you to reflect. And I did, and I just started to meditate on the encounters that I'd had in the past, which are now planted within the garden of my heart and are fruit trees that I can relive and re-engage. So I can go back and eat the fruit within the garden of my heart and re-engage in the emotions and the experiences. And I encourage you to do that. Engage your testimonies again and again and again until they become true reality in your lives. Son, look back to see how far your journey has brought you, and you will also see how much there is to come. Remember being baptized in love in 1986 and how life-transforming that was. That was my baptism in the Spirit. It was liquid love poured into me. I'd never felt anything like that ever before. That was my initiation into love. Remember when your emotions were released and I revealed another level of love as Father to you. And that was an amazing encounter. And I remember God, I ended up crying on the floor, releasing all the negative pain of my earthly father, and heaven, my heavenly father engaged me and eventually took me into the realms of heaven and bounced me on his knee and gave me he played with me. He showed me that he loved me. It was an awesome encounter. Remember when you were overwhelmed by love for those who were in bondage, and there was a point where I just began to feel God's heart for people. Remember the Firestones in 2008 when you became joined to love and how that changed the desires of your heart. And it certainly did. I was passionate for deeper intimacy from that point. Remember when you went back to the Firestones and experienced love from the eternal now perspective for the first time. I remember going back into God's heart for the first time and, oh wow, I felt at home. I felt that I'd come back to the place where his desire had birthed me, had created me, if you like, or brought me into being. It was such an awesome experience. Remember when I took you to the judgment seat and you felt my love expressed as my pleasure over your scroll, both gold, silver, and precious stones, as well as wood, hay, and straw. How liberating that was, and it certainly was, when I realized that God's love was me for unconditionally. He loved me unconditionally. And even though I'm on a journey of discovering and outworking, I made lots of mistakes and I'd had many regrets. He restored me, took away those regrets, and showed me how he felt about me, the pleasure that I brought to his heart as a son, not because of what I did, but just because of who I am. That was liberating. Remember when I came to you as father and expressed my love for you by removing the scar tissue of your father wounds. I remember in the realms of heaven in 2010 where Jesus came to me and says, you've got father wounds. And I'm like, no, I don't have any father wounds. I've dealt with them. And he said, look, and there was this huge scar. So do you want the father to heal you and remove that scar? And I responded, yes. And in that response, the father came and he looked me in the eye and he said, I love you. 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 And he carried on and on and on until every bit of that scar tissue was removed and my heart was made whole in that whole area. And then he dealt with betrayal wounds and he dealt with other wounds that had wounded my heart. But he loved me and that transformed my life. Remember when I took you to meet your father in the court of the upright and showed you that he loved you. Now, in the summing up of my father-sonship journey with my earthly father, I learned to forgive him. I released him. I told him I loved him, but he died physically. And at that point, I didn't even know whether he knew the father or had a relationship with God at all. But one day, the father took me, very similar to the occasion in the Shack movie and book where he was taken to see his father. Father took me and my father embraced me and told me that he was proud of me and he loved me, which was something he never did on earth. And that was a kiss from my heavenly father to, in a sense, complete my journey with my earthly father and the healing of the wounds and all of that. You see, we can be minus 100 on the father scale. We could be minus 1,000 on the father scale. And it's all relative and it's all important to us because it affects our life. And we can be healed and made whole and brought back to zero, but we need to be fathered. You know, we need to be fathered by a father to father us so we can be sons. And my journey of engaging the love of God has been a fathering journey. He's fathered me. Every day I embrace him as father. Every day I put my trust in him as father. I allow him to be seated on the seat of rest and government of my life. I trust him for my provision, my protection, my direction. I seek first his kingdom and I trust he's going to add everything else. I'm trusting him because he is a faithful father. He will never let me down. He'll never let me go. And I've experienced that over and over and over again, practically outworked, face-to-face encounters, looking into his eyes of love, seeing the depth of his love. Remember the waterfall when you felt my love for all, regardless of the externals of race or color or religion. And I was under the waterfall. It's a precious place for me. I was under that waterfall and it was cascading down over me with amazing energy and life. And then I felt like there were multiple colors that were cascading over me. And I felt each of those colors, and they were not just the colors of the rainbow, were seven colors, but every hue, every aspect of color, every frequency of that color, all flowing down, showing me that how God loves a particular people group or a particular thing and how it's all based on him, not based on the externals of what we do, what we look like, but on his faithfulness and his unending love. And then I was under that waterfall again. Remember the waterfall when you felt my love for the victims and the abused and the broken and the fragmented. And I did. And each of those streams that were flowing down over me represented some aspect of people who are broken and fragmented. And I felt God's identification with their brokenness and fragmentation and his desire, his deep compassion to bring healing and wholeness. And then as I was just overwhelmed by that, I then had the love pour down over me, which was equally for my children. Remember the waterfall when you felt my love was equally for my children, who are the abusers and the traffickers and the victimizers, those who damage and hurt others. And he loves them equally the same. And my soul can't equate to that. And that's the problem when we come to the restoration of all things. It is our soul that's looking for justice. And our soul is looking for justice in through the DIY tree version of justice, when justice is based in God's judgment and God's judgment is based on the decree and what happened before the foundation of the world. And therefore, God loves all his children, irrespective of what we've done or haven't done. His love is unconditional. And I felt that unconditional love. And of course, it totally transformed how I perceive people. Because often we make value judgments based on what they do, what people look like, how they relate to us. And I was in my office the next day, having had this encounter the night before. And I was taken in the spirit to the front door of our building, where we have a day center and people come in from all sorts of walks of life. But a lot of them are homeless or victims or been abused or addicted in various forms. They're disadvantaged. And I was looking at them in the spirit as they came in. And some of them are not the prettiest. They're disheveled. They've got dirty clothes. You know, they have such a hard life in some ways. And sometimes we judge the book by its cover. And I saw the light that was in them. I saw that God was in them. God showed me that he was within every one of those people. Irrespective of what they looked like, irrespective of whether they ever loved him, he loved them and he was in them. As a result of the resurrection, all who had died in Adam, which was the whole of mankind, all were made alive in Christ, which is the whole of mankind. It is all. And he's reconciled all, the whole cosmos, to himself. He's not counting anyone's trespasses or sins against them. He just wants reconciliation. And yet we judge people as if they're unworthy of reconciliation, because what have they done? Well, someone like Hitler, who killed that many people, someone like Stalin, who killed that many people, someone like whatever, the traffickers, the abusers, the multiple killers, all of the serial killers and this and all of that. We look at them and, to be honest, do we judge that they're unworthy? That actually, how can God love them? That his justice would not allow him to love them? Again, that's a wrong understanding of justice. And this experience under the waterfall, engaging the love of God, so challenged my understanding of what justice is, what judgment is, and how God loves his children. Of course, that inspires you to see people differently, to be looking for the potential of who they are as a child of God, hidden under the darkness of their lives, but there as light in them, looking to reveal them, the light that's in them, to them. Remember when I took you into the place of consuming fire, when you felt my unconditional love for those going through the fires of purification. Now, this is those who have died physically here, rejected Jesus while here and even on their deathbed, and end up in the consuming fire of God's presence, his love, which is not a fire of punishment or torment, not a fire of torture, but a fire of refining and purification. The God is seeking to continually purify and refine and remove every obstacle and hindrance to relationship with him, so that those who are going through the personal anguish and anguish of soul, of feeling tormented by their own decisions and their own choices, will come to an end of their own self-righteousness and will choose to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And I was there with Jesus, seeing some of my family who had gone before me standing in that face of fire, and I felt his love for them, and I felt love for them. Remember the love you felt for your family lines when you preached the good news. And I preached the good news. And as Jesus walked out and I left with him, a few hundred people followed us. And they came through the fiery tunnel up onto Wisdom's Heights, where the door goes into Zion. And they came through the fiery door that was like a fiery sword, which is the way to the tree of life. And they knelt and they confessed Jesus as Lord. And they walked off into Zion, having accepted Jesus, having bowed their knee and confessed that Jesus was Lord. And they're now being prepared, as I believe the cloud of witnesses, for those who've only come through fire. But of course, all of us have to go through fire, whether it's the judgment seat of fire, all of us have to face fire, because God's love is his fire. And he wants nothing to hinder our relationship with him. So we can preach the good news. And I felt this love. And I know God's desire is that his love has conquered death. He's overcome death. So there is no need for separation, even death, for those who can choose to accept Jesus as the only way, truth, and life, to engage the Father through the fire that is his purifying love. Remember when I showed you the oracles of my heart and you felt my intense passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion and overwhelming love. And that was the initial encounter I had with wisdom. And then I encountered the Father. And even recently, as I shared earlier in this session, the encounter I had when I looked into his eyes and I felt the depth of his passionate heart of love. Awesome love. Remember when you engaged the cloud of witnesses and felt how those people felt, who had been shown the love of the Father by Jesus. Those who are ostracized, those who are separated, those who are rejected by their societies. The Samaritan woman who was living with somebody and had been married, obviously desperately looking for love and acceptance her whole life, and yet Jesus accepted her. How each of those, how the leper, how the woman who poured the oil over Jesus was welcomed, even though she was rejected. Even when you think of the woman who'd been caught in adultery, and Jesus said, let him who has no sin cast the first stone. And the reality is, Jesus came to show us the heart of the Father. He was the express image of the Father, and he revealed the Father's heart of love through everything he did. And even when he challenged the Pharisees, and challenged them quite severely, it was still in love, because he wanted them to turn from their self-righteous old covenant ways to follow him into new covenant life, to come into that resurrected life by following him, as his disciples experienced on the day of resurrection when Jesus came and breathed life into them again. Just as the Father had breathed into Adam the breath of life, so Jesus breathed the Spirit, the breath of life, the Ruach of God, back into the disciples, and that represented the whole of mankind as Adam had represented the whole of mankind. And now the Spirit is within all, seeking to reveal Jesus. Jesus is knocking on the door within all, asking them to open the door so he can fellowship with them. Remember when you felt my unconditional love for the dimensional beings that I sent you to help. And again, an intense encounter that was so surprising. Remember when you felt my unconditional love for all of the fallen ones, what it was like when there was restoration and the joy and the intense emotion that there was when one was restored and the Father's love and the angelic realm's response to restoration of one of their fallen ones. Son, nothing can be separated from me and therefore from my love, as I am in all and all exist in me. My experiences over the last 10 years, and even back further than that, have been a journey taking me into the love of the Father and the depth of the Father's love. Revealing the restoration of all things is his heart, the oracles of his heart, that his love is stronger than death, stronger than the grave. His love will not ever cease. It will never stop, because he is who he is, love. Son, love is who I am, and I am unrelenting. Love is stronger than death, so I will never fail. I will never give up until everyone and everything is restored in my love. That is the heart of God. I am that I am, and I am is love. I am love, and love is I am. Love is who I am, and love is the motive of every desire, thought, and action. I am that I am, and I change not. I have always been and always will be love, as love is an eternal constant. Live loved, love living, and live loving. Rest. Live in that love and be an expression of that love to the world and live towards the world in a loving way. Operate with the having been loved, freely you've received, freely give. As we have loved, has he first loved us? That empowers us to love one another as he has loved us, unconditionally, not putting conditions of religion or law on who we will love and how we will love, but living love ourselves, living in joy and peace, and living in that state of rest. And we will be inspired by his heart of love to reach out to creation as sons of God so we can be revealed as the sons of God, so that creation itself can be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption into the freedom of the glory of our sonship. Embrace your identity as a son of God. Be seated in heavenly places and be a gateway of the love of God, the river of life flowing into the world, flowing into this earth, flowing from this earth out into the dimensions so that everything can be restored back to God's original intended purpose. Live loved, love living, live loving, and rest.